मोकम करोति वाचालम पंगुम लंघयते गिरि यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 32। सो होप एवरीवन हैज द रेफरेंस। Please repeat the text 32. We'll chant the shloka and then we'll proceed. Katamopina venahasya panchanam purusham prati tasmat kenapya upayena manaha krishne niveshayat. Translation: somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, one can return home back to Godhead. Atheists like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimically. Purport: impersonalists and atheists always try to circumvent the form of Krishna. Great politicians and philosophers of the modern age even try to banish Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. Consequently, for them, there is no salvation. But Krishna's enemies think, here is Krishna, my enemy, I have to kill him. They think of Krishna in his actual form and thus they attain salvation. Devotees, therefore, who constantly think of Krishna's form are certainly liberated. The only business of the Mayavadi atheists is to make Krishna formless, and consequently, because of this severe offense at the lotus feet of Krishna, they cannot expect salvation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, Tena Shishupaladi Bhinna Pratikula Bhavam Didhishur Ena Eva Narakam Yatiti Bhavaha. Except for Shishupal, those who go against the regulative principles cannot attain salvation and are surely destined for hellish life. The regulative principle is that one must always think of Krishna, whether as a friend or enemy. So this particular verse is actually telling us the sum and substance of entire thing that we're doing, the devotional service, the sum and substance of the entire devotional service that we're doing. What is the essence of devotional service? The essence of devotional service is smartavyam satatam vishnu visvartam yana jatushit. So this particular shloka comes from, if I'm not wrong, Nectar of Devotion. And in that it is given, the essence of devotional service is smartavyam satatam vishnu. Always remembering Krishna, always remembering Vishnu. Visvartam yana jatushit. Never forgetting Krishna. See the lines, it's same, the meaning is same. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Now tell me, what is the difference between the two lines? There is no difference. But what is happening here? They're re-emphasizing the same point, reinforcing the same point, that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So this is the essence. This is the essence of devotional service. And anyone who is able to come to this point of always remembering Krishna, that person is considered liberated. So it need not be like, you know, a person with a halo behind, he will be liberated. No. A person who is able to remember Krishna all the time, he is the one who is liberated. So that's why, you know, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, he says the shloka, Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhashmi sashishureyo. So in this particular shloka, he's talking about Rasoham apsu kaunteya, I am the taste in water. And Prabhupada, when he speaks on this particular verse, he says that whenever we drink water, we should remember Krishna. Whenever we see any light, Prabhashmi Shashi Suryayo, the light coming from Prabha, Surya and Shashi, that is sun and moon, I am that light. So even the light coming from tube light is also Krishna. Because source is Krishna, the source energy, the source of any energy is Krishna. You know, so when we see any light, you know, we have to remember Krishna. In fact, No, Prabhupada went to an extent. No, this is not for us. Again, I say, this is not for us. Again, I'm saying, it's not for us. Prabhupada told this for those hippies. So, Prabhupada, when he was giving one of the classes, Prabhupada was saying, speaking on this particular shloka of, I think it's 7.8 or something, the Soham Apsu Kaunteya. There, Prabhupada made a statement that even when you drink wine, the taste of wine is Krishna. So remember Krishna, this is what Prabhupada said. Because the people's level was so down that what will Prabhupada preach to them? So he was trying to manipulate whatever they're doing currently, at least try to remember Krishna, because that is the essence. That is the essence. So after hearing this class, I humbly request to all of you all that today onwards or tomorrow onwards, don't take a bottle in the hand and Krishna. Krishna Prasad. Yes. So this is how. So this is what is the essence. And Acharyas understand this essence. That is the reason Prabhupada would manipulate like this. And manipulate is not the right word. You know, he would adjust the circumstance in such a way, or adjust his speech in such a way that he will make the person remember Krishna. Because that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. If you are able to remember Krishna somehow the other way, yena kena prakarena mana Krishna neveshayat. Somehow or the other, we have to remember Krishna. Somehow or the other. And if we are able to do that, since Krishna is all pure, Krishna is pavitra, Arjuna is saying, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. He's saying that Krishna, you're all pavitra, you're all pure. So anyone who remembers all pure personality, don't you think that person will become pure? This is a very, very nice programming that our Shastras are offering to us. I have to use the word programming because I'm sure many programmers are listening to this class. So it's a programming by our Shastra for all of us, that the Shastras are saying that always remember Krishna. Program your mind in such a way to always remember Krishna. And if you start always remembering Krishna, what will happen? Same thing. What Shishupal went through, or what Kamsa went through, or even the great devotees like Narada Muni, Gopis and Gopas and Amrish Maharaj and all the others. Prahlad Maharaj, all the others, whatever they attained, we'll be able to attain that. What is that? Attaining Krishna. We'll be able to attain Krishna. How? Very simple. Remember Krishna all the time. Very simple, but not easy. What is big thing? Tell me. What is big thing to remember Krishna? Just you have to chant. Prabhupada says remembering Krishna means chanting. You have to just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What is the big thing in this? It's very easy. It's very simple. Prabhupada says it's very simple. But he puts a catch there. He says, it's not easy. Why it's not easy? Because we are complicated. Process is simple. Remembering Krishna is what chanting. And any kid can also do. We have seen, I've seen most of the kids of our devotees, they're chanting already. So even a kid can do. Even a kid can dance on the tune of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What is the big thing in that? But unfortunately, with time, our hearts have become so complicated, so steel-like that it doesn't melt only. It doesn't melt at all. Since we are so complicated, remembering Krishna by chanting 24/7 becomes very difficult. So it is recommended that at least we should try. As much as possible, we should try. And this is what is recommended. So when we are, as I was mentioning the other day also, whenever we're doing some work, why don't we chant the holy names of the Lord? 24/7, this is what Prabhupada says. 24/7 a person should practice chanting. Even in the sleep, the person should be able to chant. This is what Prabhupada says. Even the dream, the person should be able to chant. One day we'll be able to reach this for sure, provided we at least start desiring for it. So desiring is very, very important. So at least we have to desire, I want to remember Krishna all the time. Currently, we might not be able to do it. I can give you in writing. But at least the desire should be there that, yes, I want to remember Krishna all the time. I want to remember Krishna 24/7. At least that desire should be there. And once that desire intensifies, automatically it will be seen in the action. So that desiring is very, very important. And once we start desiring, then yes, this will happen for sure. Whatever Prabhupada is mentioning in this particular text. Hope it's clear. If you have any questions, please post. Text 33, translation. Narad Muni continued, O best of the Pandavas. So Narad Muni is talking to Yudhisthir. Your two cousins, Shishupal and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu, but because they were cursed by Brahmanas, they fell from Vaikuntha to this material world. Oh, here starts a very, very interesting and a very controversial topic, which Narad Muni is narrating. So he is telling us what was the background of Dantavakra and Shishupal. He is going to talk about that. What was the past life situation of Shishupal and Dantavakra? How did they become demons? That's what we are entering now. It's a very interesting pastime. Let's enter deep into this. Purport, Shishupal and Dantavakra were not ordinary demons, but were formerly personal associates of Lord Vishnu. They apparently fell to this material world, but actually they came to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead by nourishing his pastimes within this world. Let's go through the shlokas and then I'll explain what Prabhupada is saying. Text 34, translation. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, what kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu Bhaktas? And what sort of person could curse even the Lord's associate? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again to this material world is impossible. I cannot believe this. Can you imagine Yudhishthira Maharaj saying to Narada Muni? Narada Muni is a very, very great saint. He's a Deva Rishi. In all the Devtas, he's the topmost Rishi. And when Narada Muni is speaking, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, I cannot believe this. So you can imagine how much faith Yudhishthira Maharaj has on the Vaikuntha Vasis that they cannot fall. They cannot fall to this material world. Purport, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord clearly states, Mam upaityatu kauntaya punar janmana vidyate. One who is purified of material contamination and returns home back to Godhead does not return to this material world. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti swarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Maharaj Yudhishthira therefore was surprised that a pure devotee could return to this material world. This is certainly a very important question. So Prabhupada is also creating some suspense. So how is it possible for a Vaikuntha Vasi to come down to this material world? That is a question that Yudhishthira Maharaj is posting. And straight away he's saying that I'm not going to believe in this particular thing that you're saying. Now let's see what Yudhishthira Maharaj is putting forward. Text 35. The bodies of inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses or life air. Therefore, kindly explain how associates of personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in the material bodies like ordinary persons. Prabhupada gives a very big purport to this. This very significant question would be difficult for an ordinary person to answer, but Narada Muni, being an authority, could answer it. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired from him, saying, Etad akhyatum arhasi, only you can explain the reason. From authoritative sources, it can be discerned that associates of Lord Vishnu who descend from Vaikuntha do not actually fall. They come with the purpose of fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and their descent to this material world is comparable to that of the Lord. The Lord comes to this material world through the agency of his internal potency. And similarly, when a devotee or associate of the Lord descends to this material world, he does so through the action of spiritual energy. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jai and Vijay descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. So now this Yog Maya and Mahamaya, let me explain what is this. So Yog Maya is basically a spiritual energy of the Lord, internal potency of the Lord. And Mahamaya is the external energy of the Lord. So all of us currently, you know, we are in the laps of Mahamaya and we are enjoying. The Durga Devi holding the trident, she is the Mahamaya Shakti. And Yog Maya Shakti, spiritual energy, or Srimati Radharani. So they are the ones who take care of the devotees who have gone back home, back to Godhead in the spiritual world. So the Yogmaya Shakti, always the devotees are under the Yogmaya Shakti. In fact, even in this world, when a devotee starts practicing bhakti intensely, 24/7, trying to remember Krishna, that person automatically comes under Yogmaya Shakti. Now he cannot be bewildered by Mahamaya, that is illusory potency of this world. He cannot be bewildered. So you see, when it comes to the great saints, they're very clear. They have a clear thought process. And they cannot be bewildered or shaken by anyone in this world. No politics, no economic crisis, and no diseases. Nothing can shake them. They are there in their world. Completely. They're immersed in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of Yoga Maya, always. They have taken shelter of Yoga Maya now. But people have taken shelter of Mahamaya, external potency of the Lord, they will always be suffering. Always be suffering. So whenever we are going through any problem in our life, this is the answer. Why am I going through the suffering in my life? Because I have not taken shelter of Krishna or internal potency of Krishna. I have taken shelter of Mahamaya or Maya Shakti of this world. That is the answer. Why am I suffering? Because I have not taken shelter of Krishna. I have taken shelter of Maya. And what do you mean by Maya? That which is not. Or illusory potency of the Lord who puts us in illusion. Yes. There are many more terms related to this. If it comes, you know, in this purports, we'll see. Of course, a living entity who desires Sayujya Mukti remains in Krishna's Brahman effulgence, which is dependent on Krishna's body. Brahmanohi Pratishtham. Such an impersonalist who takes shelter of Brahman effulgence must surely fall down. This is stated in Shastra. Now, who falls down? It is very clearly given. So there's a nice shloka. So I'm skipping the Sanskrit shlokas in the purport, you know, so that we fasten the process of, you know, reading. But when you yourself read any scripture, make sure you read Sanskrit, you read word to word, you read translation, you read the entire purport without missing a single word. Why? Because Prabhupada has put in his heart and soul in writing this, right? So we have to. Oh Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated, but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter of your lotus feet. So what is the problem with these impersonalists? What is the problem with these Mayavadis? They are not taking shelter of Krishna. What they are taking shelter of? They are trying to prove that they are God. That's what they're doing. So I am Brahman. And the external, whatever is there, that is Brahman, and then I'll merge in Brahman. So there is no question of individual identities there. So they are independent, completely independent. The problem with Mayavadis or the problem with impersonalists is they don't have service mood. But whom they will serve? They themselves are calling themselves as Narayana. So they call each other as Namo Narayana. So now suppose two Mayavadi sannyasis meet. They call each other as Namo Narayana. I pay obeisance to you, O Narayana. Yes. So in this way, you know, when they are addressing each other as Narayana, so who will serve the Narayana? Yes. The actual Narayana I am talking about. So they are feeling that I am Narayana, he is Narayana. So you know, there is no question of service. So that is the reason these personalities have not taken shelter of Krishna. Anyone who serves Krishna will take shelter of Krishna. Not people who call themselves as God. And unfortunately, the people who follow Mayavad, who follow this impersonalist philosophy, they're actually, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, as killer of the soul. A soul cannot be killed. The meaning of this line is killer of the soul or Atmana. The meaning of this is they're killing the bhakti aspect in the soul. Because bhakti means what? Service. Now these people, what they're doing, they're saying, I am Narayan, I am God. So what is happening here? So the bhakti aspect, the service aspect itself is killed. And when service aspect is killed, where is the question of taking shelter of Krishna? And if not taking shelter of Krishna, then where is the question of getting or going back home back to Godhead? Right? So this is the reason Mayavad philosophy is really crazy philosophy. We have to be very much aware. Now it is said, Mayavad Bhashya Sunile Hoy Sarvanash. Anyone who hears Mayavad Bhashya, anyone who sits in a class where a Mayavadi is speaking, their life is doomed. Hoy Sarvanash. Everything will be destroyed. All the bhakti inside the heart will be destroyed. And this line is given in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. If I'm not wrong, I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is saying this line. Let's move ahead. So hope this point is clear. Why impersonalists are not able to take shelter of Krishna. So I explained all these things. The impersonalists cannot reach the Vaikuntha planets to become associates of the Lord. And therefore, according to their desires, Krishna gives them Sayujya Mukti. However, since Sayujya Mukti is partial Mukti, they must fall again to this material world. When it is said that the individual soul falls from Brahmaloka, this applies to the impersonalists. From the authoritative sources, it is learned that Jaya and Vijaya were sent to this material world to fulfill Lord's desire to fight. The Lord also sometimes wants to fight, but who can fight with the Lord but a very confidential devotee of the Lord? Jaya and Vijaya descended to this world to fulfill the Lord's desire. Therefore, in each of their three births, first as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, second as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and third as Shishupal and Dantavakra, the Lord personally killed them. In other words, these associates of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, descended to the material world to serve the Lord by fulfilling his desire to fight. Otherwise, as Maharaj Yudhishthir says, Ashraddheya Ivabhati, the statement that a servant of Lord could fall from Vaikuntha seems unbelievable. How Jaya and Vijaya came to this material world is explained by Narada Muni as follows. So, there is very clearly, you know, Prabhupada is speaking about the future verses very, very clearly. So let's go through the verses and then understand the pastime. The great saint Narada said, text 36, once upon a time, when the four sons of Lord Brahma named Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana and Sanat Kumar were wandering throughout the three worlds, they came by chance to Vishnu Loka. Now, can you imagine the level of these four personalities? By chance, they came to Vishnu Loka. Like our, who was that? Durvasa Muni. He was also going around and he just went to Vaikuntha, just like that. Yes. So these four Kumaras, who are they? So Brahma gave birth to these four Kumaras first. These were the first living entities after Brahma. And they were told by Brahma that you get married and then you start begetting progeny. Fill this world with population. So at that time, these four Kumaras said, don't put us into all this life of householder or Grahamedi. So Grahasthas is basically the ones who are devotees of the Lord. Grahamedis are sense gratifiers. So they said, don't put us into this entanglement. We don't want to do that. We want to remain Brahmachari throughout. So what these four did was, from their own Kamandalu, they took water and they put it on themselves and they cursed themselves saying that may we always be 5-year-old kids. So you see any photo, I don't know if it is there here, any photo of these four kids. Okay, it's there. So I don't know if it will be visible. Is it visible to everyone? So these are the four kids, who are not wearing clothes. And they're talking to Jaya and Vijay. Yes. So they curse themselves, saying, we don't want to get into all these things. We want to remain brahmacharis throughout our life. We curse ourselves that we never get matured in our life. We remain 5-year-old kids always. So that's how they remain. So now these kids, when they're walking around, they're so sweet, they're so chubby, and they're so innocent. No one will stop them. So they were just walking, and they were actually very nice spiritualists. So they came to Vishnu Loka. Now let's see what happens next. Text 37. Although these four great sages were older than Brahma's other sons like Marichi, they appeared like small naked children, only 5 or 6 years old. Hope now you understood why they were 5 and 6 years old. When Jaya and Vijay saw them trying to enter Vaikuntha Loka, these two gatekeepers, thinking them as ordinary children, forbade them to enter. It's like, our Gita course class is going on and our kids are playing outside. And our soldiers are standing at the door and their kids want to enter inside and they're not allowing. That is what is the current situation here. So Jaya and Vijay, the doorkeepers, they're standing outside. They're guarding the gate. And here comes the four Kumaras. They're just walking, playing, looking around, very nice. And they're just going inside. And Jaya and Vijay, they saw already the small kids. They might create ruckus inside. They might create a lot of disturbance for Vishnu. So let's not allow them. And they stopped both of them. Now this was the big mistake which Jaya and Vijay did. Let's see why. Purport. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says in his Tantra Sara, the purport is that the personal associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka are always liberated souls. Even if sometimes cursed or blessed, they're always liberated and never contaminated by material modes of nature. Before their liberation to Vaikuntha Loka, they possessed material bodies. But once they come to Vaikuntha, they no longer have them. Therefore, even if the associates of Lord Vishnu sometimes descend, as if cursed, they are always liberated. So now when it comes to us, we are there in this material body. Once we get liberated, once we go back to Vaikuntha, we get the same spiritual form like that, similar spiritual form like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just imagine, you know, you get liberated from here. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then you see the beautiful form of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Kiritinam kundalinam shankha chakra gadadharam. You know, you see the beautiful form of the Lord wearing kirita, kundala, and shankha chakra gada padma, you know, holding, held in the hand. And then, or you see the person holding the flute. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam. Sachi vistina drishtim. Vamshi nyasta dhara kishalayam. Ujjvalam chandrikhena. So if you see the personality with, you know, tribhanga form and holding the flute in the hand, last moment, last breath, you know, then you end up in Vaikuntha or Goloka depending on your desire. If you end up in Vaikuntha, now you go to that place and suddenly you realize, oh, no, two more hands. And then you'll be also given Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Yes. So similar form. Yeah, obviously, there are some differences also when it comes to the Supreme Personality and the residents of Vaikuntha. Yes. So these two personalities, Jaya and Vijay, so Prabhupada is saying, or Madhvacharya is saying, that when they were there in the material world, they might have had material bodies. But when they went to spiritual world, they had completely spiritual bodies. Completely spiritual bodies. Now, in future, what is happening? You know, that's what it is told in the purport. So maybe let's go through the verses and let me come back to this purport again. Text 38. Thus checked by the doorkeeper, Jaya and Vijay, Sanandana and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. You two foolish doorkeepers, they said, being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudvisha's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras. So this is a very nice thing that is mentioned here. Now see, Vaikuntha Loka basically means Vaikuntha. Vai means no or negation, and Kuntha means miseries. So the miseries of this world, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. So birth, death, disease, old age does not exist in Vaikuntha. So the name itself is called as Vaikuntha. The Kuntha of this world does not exist there. So it is called as Vaikuntha. Okay. So there are no miseries there. The greatest fear of this world is death. Now that is not there in the spiritual world. Then why is it that these two doorkeepers are becoming fearful and they're not allowing these four Kumaras to enter inside? That was the question of four Kumaras. The four Kumaras started thinking that this Vaikuntha is free from all the bhaya and raga and krodha and dvesha. So it's completely free. It is chinmay. It is completely spiritual. How can some material quality come to the spiritual world? How are these two people fearful and they're stopping us to go inside? And the four Kumaras, they were actually very eager to take darshan of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when someone is eager to take darshan of Supreme Personality of Godhead, yes, so at that time, no one should stop that person. What if they are the incarnation of four Kumaras? So I just remember one pastime from Gaur Leela. Yes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, was when he was staying in Jagannath Puri for the next 18 years of his life. So he would go to Jagannath temple, the main temple, and he would stand at the Garuda Stambha. So in every Vishnu temple, you will have the deities, and opposite to that will be Garuda Stambha, on which Garuda Dev will be standing. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya would stand at Garuda Stambha and he would be taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. And Jagannath would be a bit far. And many people will be there in between. Many visitors will be there. Many devotees will be taking darshan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be purposely standing far from Jagannath because he was in a different mood altogether. Now don't ask me what mood that was. Now we are not currently in that state to understand. So he was always fearful. If I go close to Jagannath, I might faint. So he would always stand very, very far. So one day what happened is there was a huge crowd. Huge crowd. And one old lady, she wanted to take darshan of Jagannath, and her height was small. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 7 feet. So he was able to take darshan of the Lord. But she was not able to take darshan of the Lord. So what she did was, she was having such intense desire to take darshan of the Lord, she climbed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she stood on the shoulders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she started peeping up. Now, mind you, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. Our Supreme Lord had taken sannyas at that time and he was not associating with any female. What talk about associating with a female? He was not allowing the shadow of female also to fall on him. That was the distance that he would keep from females. And then the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, you know, he saw, Are Bapre, this female is up and she has climbed the shoulder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How is it possible? And then he, now he can also not touch because he is also renunciant. They say, hey, come down, what are you doing up, come down. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that what Govinda is doing. Then he realized, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then realized, okay, someone has climbed me. Because he was also absorbed taking darshan of Jagannath. I really wonder when we will get this intensity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking darshan of Jagannath with so much of intensity. The lady who had climbed the shoulder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she was taking darshan very intensely. Govinda was in between asking her to come down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that someone has climbed up and Govinda is asking that person to come down. Then he looked at that lady and then he saw, oh, she's, you know, taking darshan of the Lord so intensely. And then he told Govinda that stop, it's okay. Let her take darshan of the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started crying. He started crying and he said, oh Lord, when will I get this intensity what she is having, you know, to take your darshan? That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's humility. But you know, he started crying. When will I get this intensity of taking your darshan? The same similar intensity was there when it comes to four Kumaras. Even when we come to the temple, especially after lockdown, all of us will be intense in taking darshan of the Lord. No doubt about that. Yes. But with time, again, we'll become complacent. But every time, you know, when we come to PK Sports or we come to ISKCON Whitefield or we go to ISKCON HBR layout, wherever, you know, we go, or any, you know, we go to Tirupati, not possible. No, Jargandi, two seconds will not allow us to take darshan. But any other temple that we go where we are allowed to stand and take darshan, we should eagerly take darshan of the Lord. Eagerly. Even in our house, if we have nice altar, we have to eagerly take darshan of the Lord. It's not like you just close your eyes and offer prayers and then open your eyes and leave. No. We stand there and we look at the lotus feet of the Lord and then we go up and we see the knees. No, we go up to the knees and we go up to the thighs. Then we go up to the waist and then the belly and then the chest and then the lotus face. And in that lotus face, we look at the lips of the Lord and the nose of the Lord and the eyes of the Lord and the eyebrows of the Lord, the forehead of the Lord and the beautiful hair of the Lord. Yes, this is how the darshan is taken, now from bottom to top. And we have to literally relish, you know, taking that darshan. This is how darshan, this is what Shastra says, this is how the darshan should be taken. First, you know, take blessings of the Lord by looking at his feet, and then you can go. Today morning I was hearing Bhagavatam class by Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was saying in that audio that when it comes to these Bhagavatam also, the first two cantos of Bhagavatam are like the lotus feet of the Lord. And the other cantos are like the body of the Lord. And finally, the beautiful face of the Lord is 10th canto. So Prabhupada was saying, don't jump to 10th canto. Go from first two cantos and go up. Now that's how he's mentioning. Right? So this intensity of taking darshan of the Lord is very important. You know why taking darshan is so important? Why is it so important? Even in Kali Yuga, when deity worship is not the Yuga Dharma. Deity worship is not the Yuga Dharma. Chanting the holy name is Yuga Dharma. But still we have deity. Still we have deity worship. Still we have temples. Why? And why is it so important to take darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with intensity and eagerness? Because from many, many lifetimes, unfortunately, you know, this HD camera of ours, which is very, very big number megapixel camera, it has taken many, 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 many photos of dirty things. Many, many photos. And all those photos are there inside our subtle body. Now it is there. I'm just, you know, pointing towards my head. Subtle body need not be in the head. Okay, I'm just, so that we understand. Yes. So, you know, it is stored now. And all the dirty images will remain. Like I was telling the other day, before that Narasimha Leela class. Now the thing that we were discussing about the dirty water glass, that's what is there now. So now when you take darshan of the Lord, you know, very properly, very intensely, and you observe the beautiful form of the Lord, and you observe, you know, how his eyes are, how his smile is, and you know, how his kirita is, and how his mukuta or kirita is, or how his kundal, the earrings are, and what else is he wearing on the body, how is he holding the flute. So all these things, when we observe, you know, be it a photo, you know, there are many daily darshan that we get, and our mentors are posting in the groups, so you can take darshan of that. Even when you're taking darshan of that, it has to be taken darshan like this. We observe it very, very carefully, and we take HD, you know, HD pictures from these two megapixel, you know, high megapixel camera, which the Supreme Personality has given us. Yes. So in that way, you know, when you take darshan of the Lord, then it's like putting the pure water in the dirty glass. And then you do that every single day, day in and day out. Now before sleeping and, you know, after waking up, immediately you see take darshan of the Lord. And in between also, you have photos all around. You can take darshan of the Lord like that. So when you keep doing that, keep taking darshan of the Lord often. Now this is one of the anga of bhakti, taking darshan of the Lord. So, you know, it's like pouring the pure water. And you go on and on and on, the dirty pictures which are there, those will be removed out. Yes. So darshan of the Lord is very important. Very, very important. And the mood of taking darshan is also important. That's what I just spoke. How to take darshan of the Lord. And why to take darshan of the Lord. Hope it's clear. If any doubt on this concept, please let me know. We'll try to answer. And the same mood was there with the four Kumaras. They wanted to take darshan of the Lord. Shankh Chakra Gada Dharam. They wanted to see the person holding Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. They wanted to see the beautiful eyes of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They wanted to see the beautiful form of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They wanted to see the beautiful lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's almost like, now the prasadam plate is kept in front of you and you have been fasting the entire day, say Narsimha Chaturdashi, you are fasting, you know, doing nirjala, you have not drunk water, and it's 6:35 and prasadam plate is put in front of you, and you're looking at prasadam with a lot of intensity, and suddenly the plate is snatched from you and the other person starts eating. What will be your situation at that time? What will be our situation? Maybe we'll go and punch that person or pound that person and, you know, snatch the plate back. If not that, if you're sober people, you know, if you're able to control our anger, still we'll be very angry within. That was the mood of the four Kumaras. That was the mood of four Kumaras. Yes. Now let's see what next. While Jaya and Vijay thus cursed by the sages, text 39, while the Jaya and Vijay thus cursed by the sages were falling to the material world, they were addressed as follows by the same sages who were very kind to them. O doorkeepers, after three births, you will be able to return to your positions in Vaikuntha, for then the duration of curse will have ended. Actually, between these two verses, there's a huge pastime which comes in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So let me tell you what happened. So now when Jaya Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras, so at that time the four Kumaras, the doorkeepers Jaya and Vijay, they realized, you know, what they have done. Now whenever you go to any Vishnu temple, you'll find, you know, two doorkeepers, you know, having four hands. So they are Jaya Vijay. Go and ask them, who is Jaya and who is Vijay? They might answer. So Jaya and Vijay, you know, they started, they felt very bad. They have been cursed. And, you know, getting a curse that you go to material world means you'll be forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotees cannot comprehend this fact of forgetting Supreme Personality of Godhead. They cannot. Because they are the ones who are aspiring to remember Krishna all the time. And suppose a person is cursed that you forget Krishna, oh, or you go to material world. Well, material world is illusory world. And in this illusory world, you know, since we are in illusion, no, we don't remember Krishna. That's what Jaya Vijay were feeling. Oh, we'll forget Krishna. And they're feeling very, very morose. And at that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, he came out of Vaikuntha at the doors. He came in a very, very beautiful form. He was wearing a beautiful garland of Vaijayanti Mala. And, you know, he was wearing very beautiful Kaustubha gem on his chest. He had Srivatsa mark, the curly hair, the white curly hair where Lakshmi Devi recites, on his chest. And then, you know, again, the same description of his helmet and the earrings and his smile and the tilaka. And the bangles and the bracelets and the armlets and the waist belt that he was wearing and the beautiful other ornaments that he was wearing on his body. And his pita vastra. His pita vastra, yellow garment, very, very beautiful. And on that, the waist belt, having small bells, yes. And then, you know, going down to his feet, very, very beautiful lotus-like feet, you know, reddish sole, and having beautiful anklet around the feet. And on that feet were stuck
the tulsi leaves.
And this was the form that the four Kumaras saw for the first time. The four Kumaras, for your information, the four Kumaras were Brahmavadis. Brahmavadis means they are not informed about the form of the Lord. They are not impersonalist. They don't know basically the form of the Lord. Yes. So they are just always happy in Brahman platform. That's what is their mood. Yes. But when they understand about the form of the Lord, yes, when they get to know that something like this is there, and like four Kumaras, they came to take darshan of the Lord. So they get transformed from Brahmavadis to devotees, to Bhaktas. So when the Lord came out, you know, from his beautiful Vaikuntha realm, when he came out, so that time these four Kumaras, they were looking at the beautiful form of the Lord. So mind you, the position of four Kumaras first, yes. The four Kumaras being Brahmavadis, they were very stable. When they were walking towards Vaikuntha, they were able to see beautiful things all around. The Vaikuntha Vasis were there on the plain with their concerts. And there were, you know, other things, you know, made up of jewels, and there were other things made up of valuable gems and you know, valuable metals and corals and, you know, rubies and other things were there. But when the four Kumaras were entering, so they were entering, there are seven gates to Vaikuntha. You know, anyways, when we'll go, we'll see. So they were crossing the six gates, and you know, they were looking around, but they were not attracted to anything. They were not attracted to anything. We go to fantasy land, or we go to any place, and then we are like, oh, so nice. Oh, this is nice. That is nice. Yes. Or some people who go for the first time to some foreign country. Oh, it's so clean. It's so nice. Oh, it's like heaven and whatever. Yes. But Prabhupada, when he went, he saw hell. Yes. But the four Kumaras, they were not agitated by anything. They were so blissful. They were so blissful within that the outside things were not attracting them at all. Even the paraphernalia of Vaikuntha were not attracting them. It's a very nice line which Prabhupada is mentioning in that third canto. He says that these four Kumaras, they were not agitated nor attracted by any of the thing, even of Vaikuntha planet. Now, this is what Prabhupada makes a statement there. Why? Because they were on that platform of Brahman realized souls. Yes, and they were very much blissful in that position. But now what happened is, when the Lord came out, when the Lord came out from the Vaikuntha, and on the seventh door where Jaya and Vijaya were cursed, at that time, this very nice shloka comes. Let me see if I can recollect the shloka and chant for y'all. What is that? Tasya Ravinda Nasya Padaravinda Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antagata Swavivarena Chakaratesham Shankshoba Ipsitajusham Apichitta Tanvuhu. So this particular shloka says, I think I missed one or two words, but anyways, the essence is Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda. When that personality who came, Tasya Ravinda, when that personality came, who has Nayana, like lotus eyes, or the eyes like lotus, when he came out, so that time what happened is, Kinjalka basically means the toe or the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kinjalka Mishra, the odor or the fragrance coming from the body of the Lord. It is described that Lord's body has natural fragrance. Now he need not put deodorant and then things like that. Natural fragrance is there. So that fragrance from his lotus feet got mixed with what? Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi. Tulasi Makaranda. It mixed with the fragrance of Tulasi. And then what happened? Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu. The air, which is the breeze that was flowing, that carried that aroma, you know, from the lotus feet of the Lord. And then where that breeze went? Antagata Swavivarena Chakaratesham. The wind or the breeze that entered the nostrils of these great personalities. Shank Shobha Aksharajusham Apichitta Tanvuhu. These personalities who cannot be agitated by anything, they got agitated. This is what the shloka says. These personalities who cannot be agitated by anything got agitated just by smelling the beautiful aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord mixed with the Tulasi fragrance. And at the same time, the Brahmavadis became Bhaktas. That time, the four Kumaras turned into devotees at the same time. So that is the reason in ISKCON we have this ritual where after offering the flowers to the Lord or Tulsi to the Lord, we give it to the devotees to smell. Because now anyone who smells that offered Tulsi or offered flowers, not to the lotus feet of the Lord, for sure, when it enters their nostril, there is a high chance of we becoming pure devotees. And that is the reason that is given. So now, when this happened, when they turned to devotees, then the Lord started speaking to them. And Lord started begging them forgiveness, that please forgive me because my servants have offended you. So it's my responsibility now because I am their master. So whatever offense they have committed on behalf of them, I beg forgiveness at your lotus feet. This is how our Lord is. Very, very humble. Very, very humble. He's ready to fall at anyone's feet for his devotees. So his devotees, Jai Vijay, committed mistake and he's falling or he's offering prayers not to the four Kumaras saying, you know, please forgive. Please forgive us. On behalf of them, I am offering my respects to you. And I am begging forgiveness from you. And at that time, now four Kumaras or Bhaktas, they started offering prayers to Vishnu, saying, no, it's our mistake. We shouldn't have cursed your associates. How can we do that? And at that time, Vishnu reveals the secret. And what was the secret? It's very clear in Vaikuntha, you cannot think of becoming angry also. How come these four Kumaras got angry and how come Jai Vijay stopped? So the Lord said, this was my plan. This was my plan. I want to enjoy Virya Rasa. I want to enjoy the fighting spirit. Whom will I fight with? In Vaikuntha, everyone is Aham Dasosmi. I am your servant, please. And now I cannot fight with servants. So I cannot go to material world to fight with anyone. People have Khatara bodies. In this Khatara body, one punch and they will die. Now there will be no maza in fighting. There should be some maza, that fight should go over years together and some thrill should be there in that. So what Lord said was, this is because of my arrangement that you have spoken this and because of my arrangement only that these two will be going to the material world. So at that time, understanding this, Jai Vijay spoke this, the four Kumaras spoke this verse to Jai Vijay saying, oh doorkeepers, after three births, you'll be able to come back or to return to your positions in Vaikuntha. For then the duration of curse will have ended. And what will these three births will be? These three births will be of the three pair of demons. In the first, in Satyuga, they were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev and Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narsimhadev. And in the next Yuga, that is Treta Yuga, so Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they were killed by Lord Ramchandra. And in the next Yuga, that is Dwapar Yuga, so this time when they came as Dantavakra and Shishupal, they were killed by Krishna. So, this is all nice pastime of the Lord. And who is the director, who is the producer, who is the person who gives the dialogue and script and everything? Supreme Personality. That's what he's doing. And you know why he's able to do this with his devotees? Because his devotees are surrendered to him. He will not do that with us. He'll not do that with us because we are not surrendered. Yes. All the script that the Lord writes, and even if he gives us, we'll say, no, this line is not proper, that line. I'll speak this only. And we'll speak whatever we want. Like it was some, I think, fancy dress competition or something which was going on. And the parents were telling the child, a very small child, 4 years or something. And the parents were not telling the child, speak this. And the child was like, no, I'll sing this only. And the child went and spoke something else only. And parents are banging their head. What we thought, what is he speaking? That's what is our situation. Since we are not surrendered to the Lord, we cannot hear what Paramatma is saying. And the Lord also gives it up saying, okay, if you are not surrendered to me, I cannot control you anyways. But when it comes to pure devotees like Jai Vijay, they have given the control of their entire life to Vishnu or Krishna. When it comes to Vrindavan Vasis, the difference between us and Brajavasis, the difference between us and those gopas and gopis of Vrindavan is those gopas and gopis are ready to do anything and everything told by Krishna. Like suppose there's some plan that is made in Vrindavan, okay, by gopas and gopis for the pleasure of Krishna. And you know, Krishna comes in and Krishna says, change the plan. Without second thought, they'll all change the plan. Suppose, you know, we have organized a big Janmashtami and then Krishna appears there and he says, shift the venue to this place. Just imagine, PK Sports, you have set up the entire Shamiana and everything is ready. And the Lord is supposed to be got. The deities are supposed to be got, you know, onto the stage. And when they come to the gate, they say that, no, change the venue. We're not liking it. Then we'll start explaining, no, we have spent so much of money on this. This has happened. That has happened. How can you say this? But when it comes to Brajavasis, when it comes to Vrindavanvasis, they're ready to change the plan spontaneously according to the desire of Krishna. They don't have anything. They don't hold anything back. Yes. But when it comes to us, we have our own personal interest. We hold things back. Yes. Like for example, now suppose Krishna says, give that particular thing that you are addicted to. We are like, it's very important for me. How can I give up these things? Yes. Like suppose Krishna, you know, we have 10 rupees and Krishna is asking, give me the 10 rupees. And we are like, no, I've got so many things to purchase with this 10 rupees. Krishna is saying, no, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Give me. Yes. And Krishna's one hand is behind and he has got a crore rupee check. He's just waiting. You give the 10 rupees, I'll give you this crore rupee. I mean, you know, I'll give you Krishna Prema. But we are like, no, 10 rupees. I mean, we are holding tight. We're holding tight. You know, we're not, we have crushed that 10 rupee note and we're holding it tight. That's what is our situation. So Krishna cannot act through us. Krishna cannot act through us. See, when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna that Nimitta Matra Bhava Savya Sachi. He's saying that you just become my instrument. Krishna can at least dare to tell, you know, Arjuna, you become my instrument. Suppose Krishna tells us, you become my instrument. We'll give him a look. Hey, why? I cannot become an instrument. I'm a boss. How can I become an instrument in your hands? No. I'm a boss. You're also boss. I'm also boss. So we're equal. We're equal. Yes. That is what is our current position. So we don't, we are those souls, rebellious souls, who have not surrendered to Krishna. And devotional service is that process. Just by following devotional service, the rebellious souls become surrendered souls finally. That's what is the transformation of Bhagavad Gita, you see. Arjuna was rebellious at start. He was acting on our behalf. So he was rebellious. He was telling that, no, I'll not fight. Krishna is saying, fight. And he's saying, no, I'll not fight. And after going through the entire Bhagavad Gita, finally, now he's finally surrendering to Krishna and he's saying that, Karishye Vachanam Tava, I'm ready to do whatever you say. That transformation that happens is through devotional service. There is no other process in this world that can transform our attitude of being rebellious, our attitude of being independent, our attitude of sense gratification to this particular aspect of surrender and service to Supreme Personality of God. Right? So what process we are following is a very bona fide process. We shouldn't get a tinge of doubt also. Chanting every single day, reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and other books of written by Prabhupada, hearing Srila Prabhupada lectures, attending Bhakti Vriksha and our, you know, these sessions which we are having, Bhagavatam sessions, and serving and things like, and all these activities that we're doing, we shouldn't have a tinge of doubt that these process will work or not. It has worked and it will work. And now itself we can see in our own life. Now slowly and steadily, our independent nature is coming to be dependent on Krishna. Before, in problems, we might be thinking, oh, how to solve this. Now the first thing that we think about is, oh, Krishna, please help. Yes. Now, whenever we see anything, now like maybe flowers or fruits or anything, before we would always think of enjoying that to ourselves. Now slowly it is transforming and thinking, oh, it will be so nice if I offer it first to Krishna and then accept it as prasad. This is called the transformation. So bhakti is practical. We all can see this transformation in our lives. All of us. And the day we become completely purified, completely surrendered, completely dependent on Krishna, that day, Krishna will write a script and he will give it to us and we will be the part of drama of Krishna or Leela of Krishna in some other universe where he'll be doing his pastimes. Can you imagine, you know, entering Krishna's pastimes? Just imagine Krishna wants to steal butter and then, you know, he has called all of us. So, you know, all of us are there and then Krishna is telling us the plan. Okay, you stand here, you stand outside, and as soon as someone comes, let me know, and you, all of you, now make a nice pyramid. I'm going to climb up the pyramid. Now just imagine, if we are not completely purified and dependent, and suppose we end up in that pastime, and Krishna is saying, you go and stand there, and we would ask, why? You go and stand there. So we are not allowed to enter Krishna's pastimes. Yes. How nice it would be. How nice it would be to, you know, participate in Krishna Leela. That is possible. Every person can enter Krishna Leela. No one is deprived. No one is deprived of that mercy of going back to Godhead. No one. But we are holding back things. We are holding back things. Yes. So in this way, you know, we have to understand that this process of bhakti is working for so many people. It will work for all of us, no doubt. But the thing is, we have to do it sincerely, seriously, respectfully, every single day. Adarad and Anudinam. So in this way, you know, we are supposed to do our bhakti. And it will work. And one day, Lord will write a script and give it to us. And we will be executing it as per the desire of Supreme Personality. That is called as perfection of one's life. Acting as Lord wants. So that's a very, very important thing. That's what we see here. Jai Vijay didn't think twice. Now when Lord came out and he said, it was my plan. And Jai Vijay falling down to the material world. Jai Vijay not saying, hey, why are you doing this to us? No, we want to be back. We want to be back there. No, they're like, whatever, oh Lord, you desire. You want us to go to material world? No problem. We'll go to material world. And you want us to become demons? We'll become demons. You want us to fight with you? We'll fight with you. We'll fight with you in so much of enmity that you'll struggle. You'll struggle to kill us. And that's what is their mood. That was the mood of Hiranyakashipu. That was the mood of Ravana and all of them. Right? So this is the mood of these great personalities. And whose womb did they enter? This is the last verse for today. These two associates of the Lord, Jaya and Vijay, later descend into the material world, taking birth as the two sons of Diti. Hiranyakashipu being the elder and Hiranyaksha the younger. They were very much respected by Daityas and Danavas, demonic species. Okay, let's take next two verses also. Appearing as Narasimhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, killed Hiranyakashipu. When the Lord delivered the planet Earth, which had fallen in Garbhodaka ocean, Hiranyaksha tried to hinder him, and then the Lord as Varaha killed Hiranyaksha. Now please don't ask me about these pastimes, you know, it will take long time to get into that. Desiring to kill his son Prahlad, who was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu tortured him in many ways. Now you all know this pastime. You all are masters of this pastime. Yes. So the next verse, you know, it goes into the pastime of, again, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, now it's slowly entering that particular thing, and we'll come back to Jai Vijay again. So we'll see this on Sunday. And Sunday we'll discuss more on this aspect of surrender, and we'll discuss more on the aspect of bhakti. We just have four more verses and we'll complete this chapter. And then finally we'll have the hero or the villain, Hiranyakashipu. And we'll see Hiranyakashipu's activities. So thank you very much. Let me take the questions now. Please post if you have questions. We'll try to answer. These are the Kumaras, right? The Kumara Sampradaya. Yes, you're correct. The Kumara, the same four Kumaras. Just like Jaya and Vijay were actually doing service of the Lord and immersed in that, did apradha of denying access to Kumaras and got cursed. How many times we in this kind of birth would do apradha? What would happen? Prabhu, actually the question that you asked is very, very nice and very intense question. So Prabhu's question is, who is asking this? Harish Prabhu is asking this question. Very intellectual question this is. So he's asking how much apradha we might have done now and what will happen to us. In fact, not till now, the apradha that we have done is immense. A lot of offenses, a lot of sins we have committed. So many lifetimes together. Yes. Now, we have to understand one thing, that there is no apradha in this world that Lord cannot forgive us for. He is our loving Father. So whatever we have done till now is okay. Lord will forgive us. But now, after coming to Krishna consciousness, we have to make sure that we take it up more sincerely and more seriously. And then we avoid, you know, we avoid various sinful activities. Simple. So whatever has happened previously, no problem. But now we take a vow that now, henceforth, I'm not going to do anything nonsense. Now by which, you know, I'll get stuck in this material world and, you know, I commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord. So nothing would happen, Prabhu. Don't worry. We are in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And if we just do our bhakti sincerely, you know, we'll be safe. Okay. Where were Krishna's devotees Jaya and Vijay staying in between their consecutive lives? So Jay and Vijay were there in the body of the Lord, like Shishupal entered the body of the Lord, something like that. And they were staying in the body of the Lord. Jay and Vijay were on material world who were working in their positions to serve the Lord as doorkeepers. That was vacant, bro. That was Khali. That position was Khali. Yes. When I see Tulsi, I think of that Prabhuji to offer to Krishna. Yes. Now all of us, you know, can do this every single day. You know, we can pluck Tulsi except for the next day of Ekadashi. Dwadashi, we don't pluck Tulsi. Other days we can. So pluck Tulsi and then, you know, dip it in Chandan and, you know, apply it at the lotus feet of Krishna. It is said that anyone who does that, Krishna, with lot of love and affection, Krishna becomes so indebted to them, he makes a deal. For that one Tulsi leaves, he is ready to exchange his entire Vaikuntha planet with that person. So I was told this in, I guess, 2011 or 12. From that day, I'm doing it every day. So I want to do that business with Krishna. Prabhuji, was this pastime performed in the Brahmanda and in its Chaturyuga? So this pastime is in Vaikuntha. Yes, you know, it was the start of the millennium, because, you know, the Satyuga, when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are coming, so it means it has happened before that. And there's no question of Brahmanda. Brahmanda means universe. This has happened in spiritual world. Prabhu, is curse in actual effects one, or is it mental superstitious? And also, what is the qualification to curse? It is little off track question, and if cursed, how to get out of it? For sure, we cannot curse. There's some qualification that is needed. There's some purity that is needed. It's like a female who is very chaste, always, you know, she has always thought of her husband, and you know, she has never got into adultery, and she's always chaste. That lady, if she curses, that curse can drown the entire world. And we have many examples like that. Now, a chaste lady cursing, you know, entire village, entire city, entire town, and the entire town and city and everything is devastated. So a chaste lady can curse. Second, a pure Brahmana can curse. A Brahmana who follows the purity in his day-to-day life, who doesn't get into cheating, who doesn't get into various other impure aspects and sinful activities, that Brahmana can curse. Third, devotees can also curse. Yes, the devotees who are very sincerely chanting, reading, hearing, and, you know, have come to a certain level, even they can curse, but devotees don't curse. Devotees forgive and forget. So that's the quality of a devotee. Because they have a quality of titikshava, they are tolerant. And karunika, they are compassionate. So these three people, they can surely curse, no doubt about that. Yoga Maya is nothing but Krishna's sister, Subhadra, but Mahamaya represents which god? Mahamaya is Durga. Mahamaya is Durga. Oh, okay, done. So these are the questions for today. So thank you very much. Today's attendance is 79. Okay, one more question. When describing Narasimha Leela, you said, Prahlad Maharaj said, Narasimha is everywhere. Yes. Yes. So he could see his Lord in that particular form. It's like when we come to that pure devotional service platform, we can take darshan of the Lord in all the forms, which is available. Right? He did not know before even the appearance. See, that particular time, Lord didn't manufacture a form. This form of Narasimhadev exists eternally, like form of Krishna exists eternally. So all the forms exist eternally. And for the devotee's pleasure, those particular form will come in existence. Those particular form will manifest in this material world. So in spiritual world, they have a planet. So Narasimhadev is there in one of the planet. Varadev is there in one planet. And Ramchandra is there in one planet. So all of them, they have their planets. And whoever worships them as their Ishtadev, they go to that particular planet. Right? So in this way, we see that Prahlad Maharaj could take darshan of all the forms. And then he was, he was seeing the beautiful form of Krishna and Narasimhadev. If that is the question, then another question is, in Satyuga, where was Krishna? Where did Krishna come from? Right? So something like that. Okay, more questions. Why do we say Sayujya Mukti if they also fall down? In that sense, it isn't liberation. See, liberation means free from material bondage. If the person is falling down, then, you know, what can we do? So it is his desire. So he's falling down. So mukti is, you know, you're leaving this material world and, you know, attaining some aspects of spirituality. Then that can be called as mukti. But now a person has just attained Brahman and he has not taken shelter of Krishna, he'll fall down. He'll fall down. Yes? So that's what. So mukti is not a very big thing. So devotees should understand, mukti is not a very big thing. You know, even Mayavadis get mukti. So we aspire for Krishna. Okay, so... Okay, Sripati Prabhupada posted this question last time. I couldn't answer. Many lokas, 14 planetary in universe, but why fire in 3 lokas because of Hiranyakashipu's tapasya? The 3 lokas, basically we're talking about the lower planetary, middle planetary and higher planetary, upper planetary. Yes? So, 14 minus 3, so 11 planetary systems you can say. So, they were actually affected. But the first 3 planetary systems, that is Brahmaloka, Janaloka and Tapaloka, they are never touched. They are never touched by any of the demons. They cannot touch because they are very high. They are very high and they are very pure. So that cannot be touched. Right? So whenever you say 3 lokas, we are talking about Bhu, Bhu, Swaha. So we are talking about the lower planetary systems. We are talking about the Bhu, that is our planet. And we are talking about the heavenly planet. Yes? Swargaloka. And beyond Swargaloka, we have these 3 planets. Brahmaloka, Janaloka and Tapaloka. So they were not affected. As we knew, satsang is required to... progress in bhakti, but how Prahlad doing bhakti among those many demons? Prahlad was proving a point for all of us that come what may, one should take up devotional service very, very strongly in any circumstance. And the big thing in Prahlad's life was he had got mercy of Narada Muni. Yes? A pure devotee of the Lord. And Prahlad, right from birth, he was a pure devotee. So that is the reason. Since he was a pure devotee, he was able to practice bhakti even without association. Yes. What is the importance of Shankha Chakra Gada Padma in Vishnu's 4 hands? Importance is their personalities. Shankha Chakra Gada Padma are personalities. In fact, they came down as alvars in Tamil Nadu. And Shankha Chakra Gada Padma are also the close weapons of the Lord, which he uses to kill his enemies. So chakra and gada are used for killing, and shankha and padma are used for blessing. So chakra and gada are for demons and shankha and padma are for devotees. But when Lord is really going very crazy, like in case of Narasimha Dev's pastime, he used all 4, shankha, chakra, gada, padma, to kill. Something like that. In terms of devotees' protection, Narasimha Dev had more mercy than Krishna. But in Prahlad's story, all protection given by Krishna only. How can I understand this scenario? Actually, who actually protected Prahlad, if you properly analyze? The one who taught Prahlad chanting the holy names of the Lord. It was Narada Muni who taught chanting. Yes? Narada Muni who made him pure devotees. So without the intervention of any devotee, a person cannot become pure devotee. And since Narada Muni blessed him, since Narada Muni helped him, Prahlad became a pure devotee and then he was not affected. He was calling out for, he was chanting the holy names. And since he was a pure devotee, Lord was coming and he was helping. But who gave the actual help to become a pure devotee is Narada Muni. Hope this answers your question. Last question, I guess this is. Okay, the last question for today. Ajamil committed demonic activity. How did he get Sarupya? He never served the Lord also. So Ajamil, this is a big pastime. Someday we'll take Ajamil's pastime. I think many of you might be knowing the pastime. So Ajamil, till the age of 82, he was begetting kids. When he was at the age of 87 or 88, he had a 5-year-old kid. Or something like that. So you can imagine how lusty this person was. So he did all that nonsense. He stayed with a prostitute. He had alcohol and all the nonsense he did. But now, since he was a very nice devotee before in his youth, so Lord gave some intelligence to him by which he named his younger son as Narayan. And then at the time of death, when he called out for his son, the Vishnudutas came. Na, Ra, Ya, Na. 4 Vishnudutas came to protect him. So when Ajamil saw Vishnudutas and Yamadutas fighting, yes, for him, so at that time he realized. And when he realized in this particular aspect, and when Vishnudutas and Yamadutas left that particular place, he became a very nice devotee. He went to Haridwar and started practicing bhakti. And when he practiced bhakti for, I guess, 8 years or something, very intensely, After that, you know, he went back home back to God. So that's what, see, whatever we have done in our past life or whatever we have done currently in this present life, in the past, doesn't matter. If currently, if we're taking a bhakti very, very strongly, if we stop the sinful activities which we were doing before, we will be saved for sure, like Ajamil was saved. And these Bhagavatam sessions, these Bhagavad Gita sessions that we are having are the speech directly from Bhagavatam or directly from Krishna. And this speech will transform our heart. And we, when we take up bhakti and when we stop committing sinful activities, what happens? All those things that we have done before doesn't matter now. But still, we should think about it and cry and lament that how demonic I was. That's for keeping us humble. But now when it comes to doing devotional service and progressing, that will not matter much. We have to decide now. We have to take a vow now that I want to practice bhakti with intensity, stopping all the sinful activities. Hope this answers your question. Thank you very much.